We now turn our attention to the fourth topic that we need to consider as conscientious Catholics before voting this November. The past three weekends, we've considered very sensitive subjects like abortion and racism and marriage and the LGBTQ communities. Today, we turn to immigration and welcoming the stranger. In some ways, immigration is a little bit more of a personal topic for me, since I am an immigrant from India. And I have had to navigate the whole legal process of entering this country. You know, I still remember one of the toughest questions I was asked in the immigration exam. It was whether I would take up arms and defend this country from a foreign invasion. Suddenly, the thought flashed through my mind of the United States and India going to war, and me having to shoot a soldier from India. I hesitated for a moment, but don't worry, I gave the right answer. I answered that I would defend this country. Now, every day I pray that the United States and India don't go to war. But being an Indian immigrant makes me acutely aware of the importance of both sides of this difficult debate. On the one hand, welcoming the stranger, which has been a long and distinguished part of our national history. Indeed, most of us were immigrants, or the children or grandchildren of immigrants, especially here at Immaculate Conception Church. We are happy that someone welcomed us when we were the strangers. But on the other hand, we Americans have a deep respect for the rule of law, which maintains our equality as citizens. We are all equal under the law. The law not only asserts that we are created equal, but it ensures that we stay that way. You know, one of the blessings that brings so many immigrants to this country is precisely the rule of law, which is egregiously abused or entirely absent in their home countries. That's why they come here. The U.S. bishops emphasize that we must do both of these things. Welcome the stranger, but also respect the rule of law. In their document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, they wrote this: "The gospel mandate to welcome the stranger requires Catholics to care for and stand with newcomers, authorized and unauthorized, including unaccompanied immigrant children, refugees and asylum seekers, those unnecessarily detained, and victims of human trafficking." That comprehensive description covers virtually everyone who steps foot on our shores or even on our riverbanks. "We warmly welcome all the huddled masses yearning to breathe free," as Emma Lazarus wrote, "because we were once among those huddled masses." Notice, however, that the bishops also urge comprehensive immigration reform, that is, new laws. Why? Well, people respect the rule of law when the laws are good. But if the laws themselves are broken and ineffective, it is hard, and even at times unreasonable, to respect them. An unjust law is no law at all. Thus the bishops continued in the same paragraph: "Comprehensive reform, new laws, is urgently needed to fix a broken immigration system and should include a broad and fair legalization program with a path to citizenship, a work program with worker protections and just wages, family reunification policies, access to legal protections, which include due process procedures, refuge for those fleeing persecution and violence, and policies to address the root causes of migration. In other words, Congress has the unenviable but urgent task to make the laws of our land conform to the lives of desperate immigrants. When they succeed in that arduous task, it becomes easier to respect both the rule of law and to welcome the stranger at the door. You know, one of the most remarkable things about the rule of law is that laws can and do change. Human laws are not divine laws. The Constitution was written on paper. The commandments were chiseled in stone. If you want to read a brief history of the evolution of immigration laws, which have changed dramatically over the last 250 years, I highly recommend John F. Kennedy's book, A Nation of Immigrants. Kennedy himself was a great grandson of immigrants leaving the devastating potato famine in Ireland, like many of the initial immigrants who landed here and started IC Church. And he embodied what immigrants and their descendants could achieve in the United States if given the chance. Kennedy wrote that immigration laws should be fair and flexible. And then he concluded, "With such a policy, we can turn to the world and even to our own past with clean hands and a clear conscience." That's exactly what the U.S. bishops are asking as well. Another insight into the relationship between law and life was made by Archbishop J. Peter Sarton, our former bishop in Arkansas. He once commented to me with a smile, "John, there are laws, and then there are laws." He did not elaborate, but I took him to mean that sometimes we select which laws to obey and which ones to skirt. I hate to admit this in public, but I usually drive on the interstate 5 to 7 miles an hour over the speed limit. I hope there are no state troopers at Mass this morning. But do you know one law I cannot tolerate people breaking on the interstate? It's that the left lane is for passing only. In fact, I remember one time someone was in the left-hand lane and going slowly and holding up line of traffic behind them. I became so angry that I passed them on the right-hand lane, got in front of them, and slowed down to 50 miles an hour just to make them move over. I don't mind breaking the speeding law, but I can't stand someone violating the left-hand lane law. Be careful, therefore, of a kind of hidden hypocrisy. When we complain about the violation of immigration laws while we blithely break other laws. If we fix our broken immigration laws, we won't have to pick and choose which laws to obey. The whole controversy about immigration is at root a concern about making just laws. In 2015, Pope Francis visited the United States and spoke before a joint session of Congress. Do you remember that? Behind the Pope sat two prominent Catholic politicians, Vice President Joe Biden and Speaker of the House John Boehner, both Catholics. During his speech, the Holy Father pointed to the full face of Moses, the ancient lawgiver, in the book of Exodus. And then he said, "Moses provides us with a good synthesis of your work," meaning the work of Congress. "You are asked to protect by means of the law the image and likeness fashioned by God on every human life." Notice how the Pope tied together the two terms, law and life. The law exists to safeguard our lives. The Pope was prodding Congress to pass legislation, new immigration laws that would inspire more Americans to both welcome the stranger and respect the rule of law. By the way, if you watch that speech, you notice how visibly moved John Boehner was. At one point, he took out his handkerchief and he wiped his eyes and his nose. Clearly, the Pope's words had touched Boehner's heart. In fact, it made such a deep impression on him that the following day, Boehner announced his resignation as Speaker of the House and from the House of Representatives. The Pope did not tell Boehner that he needed to resign, but he awakened his conscience so that he could decide what to do. That's how these homilies work. They are not intended to tell you how to vote, but to awaken your conscience so you decide what to do. Praise be Jesus Christ.